If you're tuning in to the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers podcast, you are in the right place.
Yeah.
You are here with myself, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And why don't you say hello, Mr. Big O?
Yeah, this is Jim Ozarski, also of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Getting into a rhythm here.
Yeah, we're trying to. We're all about Packers-Bears this week.
Yeah.
And, boy, it got off to an exciting start this week. A little bit of trash talking, which we'll get into very shortly. But, you know, I think one thing to examine right away is this is two teams who are extremely familiar with each other. 96 times they've played, but I don't know if they've ever been as inexperienced or unaware of what their systems are. So we've got a new head coach on offense, new offensive head coach for the Bears in Matt Nagy,
right.
And we got a new defensive coordinator for the Packers in Mike Pettine. So what does that mean? Unscouted looks.
Right.
That's the quote-unquote term that you'll hear over and over again this week. So let's start with Bears offense. What do you expect to see from a Matt Nagy offense?
Yeah, it's...
Why don't you describe where he's been and what his background is?
Yeah, it's an interesting background if you go all the way back. I mean, he wasn't really in coaching not that long ago. He's a young guy. I mean, basically what the Packers are going to work off of are the handful of games he called plays in Kansas City last year. If people remember, the Chiefs started out real hot, then they went in the tank, and that's when Andy Reid handed over play calling duties to Matt Nagy. So now Andy said Matt had a hand in the success early. He had a, as he was trying to get some jobs. So, you know, I think you got to look at that. What the Chiefs did, and what did the Chiefs do? They ran a lot of run-pass options, that hot RPO that you've heard a lot of, especially with the Eagles winning a Super Bowl. Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a variation off that West Coast offense, timing passing, rhythm passing.
Right.
And obviously getting the ball in the hands of playmakers. And while that sounds like, oh, that's what all offense is, I mean, well, the Packers run West Coast. They run some RPO. So, I mean, you're going to see some of that. And Mitch Trubisky is a mobile quarterback. I mean, I think if in Matt Nagy's perfect world, Tom, you're going to say, wow, that looks a lot like what the Packers do.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I know about Andy Reid from – his time here and then watching him in Philadelphia and also in Kansas City, and you see it with Doug Peterson in Philadelphia, is they love motion. They love to get guys going all over the place. They don't ever want to be in the same formation, and they're trying to create matchups, and they always like some kind of scat back, you know, or Darren Sproles or someone like that they can put out in the flat. Brian Westbrook was a great example of that with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. And I suspect that that's part of the reason why they already had Tariq Cohen, but Gabriel's a guy they added. It's just quick guys that they can move around. And I think that'll be a big staple of his offense.
Yeah, I think so, especially when you look at, you know, the Packers linebacking core and what they can and can't do in coverage. I mean, in this defense, you want Nick Perry and Clay Matthews rushing.
Mm-hmm.
So who does that leave? I mean, as we talked about in the last podcast, just sort of a myriad of guys around Blake Martinez, right?
Right.
And you know that they're going to – look, Trey Burton coming from – signed in Chicago out of Philadelphia to create coverage mismatches. And that sort of flips to what you said with Mike Pettine. You know, where he has a track record as a coordinator, but what is but he's been out of the league for 2 years.
Yeah,
he actually went to Kansas City for a little while to consult and see what they're doing. He
in
spent
Seattle.
Yeah, spent time in Seattle with what Pete Carroll's been doing. So there's some unknowns there in terms of what he's going to present to Matt Nagy.
Right, and we kind of talked to Patton on Thursday night regarding his defense and some with guys in the locker room too. I think you were around for Clay Matthews when he was talking about that. Why don't you say what was Clay Matthews saying about how much we've seen of Patton's defense and what we can kind of expect?
Yeah, Clay was asked the percentage and he just said 5% of what's in. So I went from front to back, from Kenny Clark to Kevin King, and the linebackers in between, just of what to see, what can be expected. And really, they're like, well, we're not going to say exactly what it what it's going to look like, only A, that they're very excited to show it. Mm-hmm. And the one thing, and even Mike Pettine talked about this, is getting after the quarterback. And Mike Pettine has that history of creating or scheming pressure, whether it be blitz. And he said he doesn't want to hit a certain number of blitzes in a game or feel he needs to get to a percentage. It's just about getting there and how do you do that and creating a free runner.
Making sure you pressure the quarterback.
Yeah.
I think Mike Pettine might go in with a game plan of maybe he thinks his front four will get there, but they're not, and then he starts to bring the heat. But I think there will always be some deception with him. A lot of zone drop kind of stuff. Who's coming, who's not coming.
Right.
Trying to create, like you said, that free runner to the quarterback. A lot of cat and mouse coming into this game. And I'm actually intrigued by how these two squads are going to go at
each other. Especially because they don't, the preseason, they don't do anything. It's just
a joke.
I think really Trubisky attempted 18 passes. He played 40 snaps in five games. And as Matthew says, it's 5%. And what is that 5%? That's really just your base looks. And there were some safety, some secondary blitzes.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have just been the call in the moment. So what do you know? You don't know anything. And I
will say this though, you don't know exactly what they're going to do to start out. But every coordinator or coach in this league has his stripes,
right?
And they don't change. And so,
Penn's got more stripes than Nagy.
Yeah, he does, but he's all you got to do. His whole background is the Rex Ryan defense. When push comes to shove, that's what he likes. That's what he's going to do. You might see some wrinkles and things, but by the third quarter, both teams will
have
seen
it,
those wrinkles, and you're back to your base schemes and how you're going to go after people. So, another interesting aspect of this are the two guys who know each other, which is Mike McCarthy and Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio has been an absolute thorn in McCarthy's side, particularly when he was in San Francisco when they were just crushing the Packers' offense with that great team. And I think the scheme might be a little bit the same, but we're starting to see the Bears' defense become kind of the 49ers.
Yeah.
So, you've got up front, Aldon Smith is now Leonard Floyd, and Ahmad Brooks is Khalil Mack, and Roquan Smith is Patrick Willis.
Yep.
And you're starting to see that this is the kind of team that Fangio wants to build.
Right, and look, if you're going to give the Packers defense some compliments when Aaron Rodgers comes out and says, wow, they create these pressures, there's some athletes and some different looks, well, it goes to the other side,
mm-hmm.
and that Fangio, you're right, those are the things in Fangio's 3-4 that have clearly given this offense troubles in the past. Especially when you're talking about, look, goes both ways. Aaron Rodgers hasn't played either in this preseason. Jimmy Graham hasn't done this for 60 snaps or whatever it may be with Rodgers in this sort of scenario and you know, whatever rookie receivers might be up.
Right.
You're right. I mean, if there's constants, and look, the one constant too is Fangio. This was a top 10 defense last year for a team that lost 11 games, which seems almost unbelievable.
It does.
It's why there is a new offensive head coach and system in Chicago. That's not a joke. What Aaron Rodgers is going to try to score points on.
Right. I can't stand it any longer. We got to go to Khalil Mack, and we got to go to Akeem Hicks, because this is just too good. It was too much fun. So I'll set the sort of scene here. Is every week, especially in division, mostly in division games, the opposing team will do a conference call with the head coach and a given player. And we get to request the player. We don't necessarily get him. So we asked for Khalil Mack, which they denied, of course. I mean, you can understand that. They got to get him ready to play. But we went for Akeem Hicks, who is a very intelligent guy, very Canadian. Good player, yeah. You know? So, you know, Canadian guys are just really nice. And we just hit the jackpot with that. And many of you have probably already read this, but we have the actual recording of what Akeem Hicks had to say about Khalil Mack. And the funny part was, he was on a cell phone in the training room, and Khalil Mack was on the table next to him. So he was clearly, and you can hear some of the chuckling, he was clearly playing to Khalil Mack, but Let's just listen to it in our favorite segment.
Say what? Say what? Say what?
Akeem, the Packers had a lot of injuries on their offensive line, so there were a lot of rotating going on. What do you know about the five that you'll see on Sunday?
I know those five guys can't block Khalil Mack.
The starting right tackle for the Packers, Brian Bulaga, is coming off a torn ACL. If you know a guy is coming off a significant injury, do you try and test him and see what he's like in his first game back?
Well, I think it affects guys, you know, when they come back from an injury, especially, you know, older guys like Bulaga. But I don't think he had a chance to block Khalil Mack in the first place.
When you see a group that has not played together during the preseason, is that a sign of weakness, do you think, or do you fear that they'll get their stuff together this week?
You know, I really feel like this. You know, they have to put their offensive line together however they do it, put their best product out on the field. But I don't think their best product can block Khalil Mack.
Is Khalil getting a kick out of this?
Khalil is just doing his business, doing his work, making sure that he's ready to practice. Let me check on him real quick. No, he's good. He's good.
You know, Coach Nagy kind of played a coy with us about whether Khalil would play or not this week, but, I mean, he's going to play, right?
Well, it's not that easy. It's really not that easy. I figure you come in, you know, just from Khalil Mack's perspective. Let me go into the mind of Khalil Mack for a second, all right? I feel like he's going into this game saying, I'm going to put my best stuff out there, and whatever reps I get, that's what I'm going to dominate, and that's what happens.
Do you think
Can you tell how excited I am to have my new teammate?
Yeah. And the favorite part, I didn't include this, but at the end, Akeem Hicks goes, you know, he, to wrap up his conference call, he goes, Khalil Mack, Khalil Mack, Khalil Mack, Khalil Mack. What else is there
to
say? I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, I like that kind of stuff.
It's fun, especially this day and age where a lot of these guys are friends. They share agents. They work out together. Yeah. You know, you don't really get some, whether it's good-natured or otherwise, kind of, I guess Jalen Ramsey would be
yeah,
you know, the far extreme.
Yeah.
But you just don't get this kind of stuff. And it was fun. And you know, none of the Packers took the bait. Aaron Rodgers was a little, you know, he's like, whatever, I'm not responding to this. Brian Bulaga didn't want to respond to it.
Bakhtiari did say to me, that's bulletin board material.
Yeah, they heard it. They read it, right?
Bulaga's like, yeah, I read about it in the cold tub.
Yeah.
Or that was either him or Bakhtiari. I can't remember. Yeah, I think it was Bulaga. Anyway, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, but, you know, it's legitimate. It's
this guy's a big-time player.
Right.
But let's talk about I'll swing this to you, and you tell me, how much is this guy going to play, and how effective do you think he's going to be?
Yeah, I think it'll be effective. He's just too good not to be.
Mm-hmm.
But to your first question of how much he's going to play, you know, I'm sure, you know, he'll say, I can play the whole game. And Matt Nagy will understand he can't do that because, look, Roquan Smith held out, was in training camp for like 2 days before he popped a hammy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he hasn't played this entire preseason. So, I mean, that's a very real thing that I know the Bears are going to want to be concerned about. And so, to me, I hesitate to put a snap number on it, mm-hmm. Tom. I think Khalil Mack's play time will be dictated by downs 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and how often the Packers are in sort of obvious passing situations.
Mm-hmm.
How long they don't, or they're not in tempo. That's part of it, too, with Mike McCarthy, that chess game of substitution.
Right.
You know, I'm sure they think the same way. You know, if Khalil Mack's not on the field on first down, okay, let's get tempo going so he can't sub in if it's 3rd and 6. But I think he'll be effective because he's just too good.
Yeah.
And if he can avoid sort of the change of direction or the stop-start that does lend itself to muscle or, you know, soft tissue injury.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a bull rush, if it's see quarterback, go get quarterback, I mean, that's, you know, he'll get there. He'll be around Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. We didn't mention that, of course, he missed all of training camp. So his first day in pads was this week.
Yeah.
And so that means something.
It does.
It really does. I mean, the other guys, you see it anytime a guy has been injured and he comes back to practice, it takes him a little while to get going in training camp. I also think it's going to be interesting to see how McCarthy handles this. So Brian Bulaga will be starting his first game mm-hmm. since November. Darn good player. Played pretty well against them when they played the Raiders in 2015. But the interesting part, I went back and watched that game and asked James Campen about it, and he was like totally avoided the, oh, I don't remember that game. Baloney, he doesn't right. remember that game. I know for a fact they were watching that game this week. Anyway, the Packers ran away from Khalil Mack almost every time. I counted it. I think it was like 18 times to the left and 5 to the right or something like that. And they 3-step dropped the whole game. They were so afraid of the guy. You know, they ended up winning the game. But I don't know if you can play with that much fear against him. You're going to face good guys, but...
That might go into larger Mike McCarthy questions. That, I mean, my brain goes right to the NFC Championship game in Seattle. Very, like, you know, getting real tight about it.
Mm-hmm.
A situation mm-hmm. or a player or whatever. I wonder if it'll go the other way. You know, as you said, that's the first time he's been in pads. And let's face it, they don't really hit each other in practice to the degree. And Matt Nagy kind of it might have been a joke, but there's a truth in it when he said, you know, he hasn't worn a helmet, and he's got to get used to, like, the blisters on his head. Yeah, I mean, all of that's a real thing. So to me, I'd almost say, put Mercedes Lewis over there, and let's run right at him.
Right.
3rd and 6, okay.
Right.
I mean, this guy, Leonard Floyd's got a club on his hand. Roquan Smith hasn't played. You know, they're all talented players, but it is week one. Mm-hmm. Different proposition in Chicago in December, maybe. But, I mean, there's a part of me that would say... Even with Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery, maybe not your bangers. There's no fullback, whatever. I'd almost physically test those guys.
Yeah, I think I would too. I think I would do exactly what you're saying. The only thing is that he actually has to play on those early downs.
Right. As if he's on the field for it, right?
Right. If he's not, then you got to just run your offense like you're going to run it. You know, I think I'd start out with Brian Bulaga on him, and I'd run my offense however I was going to run it. And if Khalil Mack is eating him up for lunch, then you put a back over there and you start to do what's necessary to block him. Because, you know, McCarthy likes to get lots of receivers out, and he can be stubborn. He can be really stubborn about giving help, not giving help.
Right.
He wants his tackles to be able to go one-on-one.
Yeah.
But that's why Bulaga and Bakhtiari are paid the way they are.
Right.
They're highly paid tackles.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, it's, as they'll say, we're paid to do a job.
Yeah.
Do a job, too. And, you know, those guys, there's a respect level, but it goes the other way. You mentioned bulletin board material. They're like, well, hey, what about us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it goes both ways. You know, and you're right. And part of that also falls on the quarterback, and he's really good at moving and making a guy miss or giving himself that extra half a step, especially with these new rules. You know, they're a little more protected, so you know you can have the quarterback move a little bit, knowing he can't take the full force of, you know, Anthony Barr in 2018.
Yeah, and you just made the comment that it's going to be different in December, and it will. And I think there's other things that will make the Bears a better team in December. Yeah. And you mentioned Roquan Smith is battling that hamstring injury. Leonard Floyd has a club on his hand. So there you're talking about three of their top defensive players are either banged up or not in the best of shape. Akeem Hicks is a hell of a player.
He's very good.
He's a really good player. He had 8.5 sacks last year. It was pretty dominant. They have Kyle Fuller. They've got a good young safety, second-year safety, Eddie Jackson. Danny Trevathan.
I mean,
Packer fans know well.
Right.
Or Devontae Adams knows well.
Right.
This is a good defense. It's just, it's not as good as it's going to be.
Right. I would, you know, Jimmy Graham's interesting in this to me because, you know, Smith is kind of you're kind of the he's a top 10 pick for a reason. I mean, he's supposed to run that defense, but he's athletic and can cover. I mean, has he covered a guy like Jimmy Graham before? Can Eddie Jackson do that? I mean, that's interesting. You know, I'm sure the Packers feel that way too. Like, okay, yeah, you've got all these things, but look who we have that's new. And Kyle Fuller, I mean, that's one of the kind of forgotten storylines of this week. I mean, way back when, you know, that guy might have been with Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
If things had gone differently, and I'll be honest, I mean, he's a nice player, but I'd take my shots at that guy.
I mean, with Devontae Adams maybe.
Right.
And he may match up against Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams had a nice game last year with Hundley as quarterback.
Yeah.
But Kyle Fuller's a good player, and I expect him to have a pretty decent game. Prince Amukamara, they faced him before. They know what he does. He could give them some trouble, too. The Graham thing, I think what makes Graham the most dangerous is that when Rodgers gets out and scrambles, you can't cover him then, because then it becomes a jump ball situation. Yeah. You don't have leverage on him. It's a whole different ball game when Rodgers is out there running. And I think that's ultimately going to be a big part of how they use him is in the scramble mode.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously he's, you know, I don't think anyone scrambled. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is pretty good out of the pocket, but, you know, this guy played with Russell Wilson for the last couple years.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they found a little more chemistry last year together.
To use him as a tight end, though.
Right.
You know, and the Packers are not going to fall for that.
Right.
He's not a tight end.
No, I mean, it, you know, because people ask, oh, who's their second receiver? Jimmy Graham's the number two, if you will.
Absolutely.
You know, he's going to be split out and to create mismatches. And you mentioned the motions. You know, I think that's what this game is about to me with the play callers, is finding those mismatches.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bears are probably going to want to try to keep Rodgers just contained. I mean, they'll want to get to him, of course. But they have to be real careful about not letting him get out of the pocket too much, because that's where I think he can hurt them. They keep him in the pocket, I think they got a way better chance of winning the game. Yeah. I think they have the ability to cover. They use their, you know, Vic Fangio's typically plays a zone and drops his two inside linebackers back, and they just rush to the ball, you know. We'll see if he does that a lot or if he starts to bring some blitzing. One area where I think, again, on the Packers offense, that we have no clue as to what's going to happen as the running
back. I mean, we kind of talked about earlier, you know, if Mag is in on early downs, they sort of run at him, but that's what, Jamal Williams?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a physical guy. I mean, that's a guy you could probably do that with. But yeah, I mean, it's that, you know, hold your breath, if you will, right? You know, in terms of, you know, can either of those two guys make it through the game?
Ty Montgomery, yeah. I'm like, so Ben Sermon's the running backs coach.
Yeah.
He's a great, great guy, very personable, very honest. Was asked today whether Ty Montgomery's improved his blocking.
Yeah.
And, markedly. Well, I'm sorry. I did not see that during the preseason. Jamal Williams, however, is a good blocker. I'm like, how are they – if Mac is having a good day, or if they're getting pressure from Hicks or they're blitzing, they got to have Jamal Williams in the game a lot. He's got to play a lot of snaps.
Or is this a two tight end – I mean, they have four tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this one of those situations where – you know, it's Graham and Kendricks, and Graham and Mercedes Lewis, where you run – because Graham isn't your traditional tight end,
mm-hmm.
it'll be technically a two tight end set.
You could put one of those guys in
right.
the backfield and keep him in to block, like Kendricks could do that.
Right. Or even just offset, you know, to give you that little extra – help if needed.
Yeah, I just think you need the option of Jamal Williams being able to run out into the flat or run a screen, give at least that potential. So I expect Jamal Williams to play a lot, and I, as people on this podcast know, I'm not real high on Ty Montgomery as a running back. So
he wears number 88 for a reason.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, it's, you know, he's versatile. It's a good guy to have for I mean, I guess it's better than Randall Cobb being back there in a similar vein, but
yeah. So let's flip the switch here and go Packers defense against Bears offense. What do you know about the Bears offense? A lot of new pieces.
Of new pieces. I mean, Allen Robinson 3 years ago led the league in touchdowns, mm-hmm. had a great year in Jacksonville as a Pro Bowler. Coming off a torn ACL, so he hasn't played much. He had a little preseason. Taylor Gabriel, you mentioned earlier, the free agent out of Atlanta, kind of made his bones there, getting a lot of single coverage, I would imagine. Nice, soft areas to drop into with Julio Jones and Mo Sanu. Trey Burton, we mentioned, out of Philly. His first shot at really being the tight end,
mm-hmm.
As sort of a platoon guy. He's more, I mean, at least to me, Tom, he's a talented guy, but that's sort of a projection. Can he play all game? Can he do all the things he's supposed to do all game long?
Right.
You know, I think, you know, Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen are the known quantities. I mean, Jordan Howard's he's a good back.
He's a real good back.
And, you know, you can maybe guess what they're going to do with Cohen when you look at Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt to a degree in Kansas City, but I think it's Jordan Howard. I mean, look, Mitch Trubisky, they're hoping he makes the year two leap that Jared Goff and Carson Wentz did.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they hope. That's why they hired the coach that they did. But he's still a guy who only completed 59% of his passes.
Right.
And 6.6 yards per attempt. I mean, you can't – I don't know if you can come in here thinking they're going to throw it 35 times and expect to win.
I know this, that Nagy's not going to have the handcuffs on him that John Fox did.
That is
did.
True.
John yeah. Fox, that yeah. was embarrassing it was. What they did to him last year. And I realize he's a rookie, but come on, even by the end of the year, yeah, they right. should have been opening some stuff up.
Right.
They had injuries to wide receivers, and they just weren't a very good offense.
Right.
But that would have been the time to...
Let it loose.
Let it loose. Yeah. Right. What do you got to lose? You're freaking 5-11. You know. I want to see Mitch Trubisky playing with very little restraint.
Yeah.
I want to see what kind of quarterback yeah. he is.
Because can he do it? I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
You know. I mean. I mean, he was drafted number two for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But
a lot of draft picks exchanged yeah, for him.
Right. You know? I think to me, and who knows? I mean, maybe they come out and they're it's just quick throws and. They like the matchups and the short kind of catch and run stuff, but you know, I mean, you know what you have up front, and you know what you have in your running back.
Mm-hmm.
So why not see if you can make things easier for Mitch Trubisky with 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3,
mm-hmm.
with because you know, and Kenny Clark was you know very complimentary of Jordan Howard in that front and what they've been able to do despite the fact everyone's known.
Mm-hmm.
That's been their offense
yeah.
the last couple years.
Yeah. Now, I think the Packers have to win against Chicago's offensive line. If there's an
yeah.
area where they can win, that's it. And Muhammad Wilkerson, Clark,
yeah.
Daniels.
Right.
You know, Kyle Long's a very, very good player. Cody Whitehair's coming up. But, you know, there's some hay to be made
yeah.
up there. And yeah. They got to do it there with that front seven,
right? And that's part of you know how we started this with the unknowns of Pettine and the pressures. You know, you're right. Ideally, they win with four. And I thought Kenny Clark had a really really good preseason, at least when he played,
yeah.
both in run stop and obviously Mike Daniels. I think this team needs him to be that passer. Mo Wilkerson's interesting because it's you know he's a name. Kind of the guy who has done it, but what is he now? I mean, that's maybe an unknown to a degree.
Yeah, but I don't know if he'll ever be the pass rusher he was.
Right.
But the one thing I could tell from watching him is that he's assignment sure, and he's not like Mike Daniels who runs out of gaps and leaves big holes there because he thinks he's going to make. He's really about doing his job.
Yeah.
At least that's what I saw this preseason. Now, at some point, he's got to beat some blocks and get
right.
to the quarterback. But I kind of want to see how he handles it. I don't think I think he can still have an impact even without a ton of sacks.
Yeah, yeah I mean, hey, look, sometimes those guys, it's not very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mo Wilkerson can do everything right, and that allows, you know, HaHa Clinton Dix to get a sack.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Clay Matthews to force an early throw that leads to a turnover. And there's no stat for that.
Yeah.
So you're right. Assignment sound. Do your job. It's very cliche, but at the end of the – for at least those guys up front. And they haven't played much together. You know, so to see how that works or doesn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, I honestly think this is where the Packers to me will win. I guess a little teaser that I think they can get Mitch Trubisky to turn the ball over or make some decisions that result in punts and some change of field position. And I think if you just give Aaron Rodgers that many chances,
mm-hmm.
some points will be scored.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is the one. I know the Packers' defense is an unknown, and it was not as good as fans or they would have liked a year ago. But I do think that unknown is can trump a second-year quarterback in a brand-new offense. And all of those new guys that haven't done this
yeah.
together.
Here's one area I think the Bears can exploit, and we'll be looking at to see how the Packers handle it. So they bring in the Bears bring in Jordan Howard on first down, and the Packers counter with Blake Martinez and Antonio
yeah.
Morrison. to, you know, Morrison is a run-stopping guy. Blake Martinez is, you know, the heart of the middle of their defense. Then, okay, so they play the run. Then Tariq Cohen comes in on, let's say, second down or third down, or he starts the series. Are you going to keep Antonio Morrison in there and Tariq Cohen goes in motion and he's got to cover him? So what do?
Right.
You bring in Jermaine Whitehead as that safety linebacker guy, and then he is able to cover Cohen. And then, but then you're playing with a 200-pound guy in the box.
Right.
So what do you do there?
Yeah, that'll be – Cohen's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you feel about your rookie corners and run support if need be?
Right.
You know, because you – I mean, they can cover,
mm-hmm.
and Cohen is a running back, so it's not like his route run. You know, I mean, there's not, to me, a matchup problem if he splits out and Jair Alexander follows him out there.
Mm-hmm.
But what if it's a handoff,
right.
or a sweep, or something where, okay, you need those kids to know where they're supposed to be, and can they make a tackle? You're right. That and I think there's an interesting matchup with Cohen and special teams, Tom. I mean, you got a rookie long snapper.
Yep.
A rookie punter
who,
you know, look, if that gets messed up, Tariq Cohen's going to the house, and that changes games.
Right.
So, Cohen's, you're right, kind of the most interesting part of this matchup game, if you will, because you're right, that linebacking group is, what does Patton do there?
Well, I do think there is one option, which is, every time Tariq Cohen is in the game on third down, is you blitz the heck out of him and make him stay in.
Make him stay in, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's one option. They'll, of course, have screen passes ready for that. But you figure out a way to, you know, blitz from the slot or something to
put pressure on. Yeah, and it all goes hand in hand because is Trubisky accurate enough, fast enough to handle that, to recognize it, to throw it, it need be. And those become... the dangerous throws for the Bears offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a quick screen out to the flat and you've got your, you know, you got Tremont Williams or Kevin King paying attention, you know. This is probably more interesting, I think, than you would have imagined, you know, a year ago when the schedule came out, right?
I had the Packers as winning this game, Aaron Rodgers versus Mitchell Trubisky, but you know, I think the Bears have done a really nice job building up their defense.
Yeah.
And like I said, if this were December, it would be a different game.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. It'll be, when it comes to this stuff, I do tend to, even if the defense is really good, great quarterbacks, the league is geared for them to have more success.
Yeah, they win games.
Yeah, and you just have all of these extra issues with the top Bears defenders. You're right, that D-line, Akeem Hicks is very good. I don't know, Tom, it's the start of seasons for offenses, to me, always seems herky-jerky and ragged because they just don't play enough.
Yeah, it was really funny. I went back and looked at the last... Well, they've been playing the Sunday night football on NBC since 2006.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked, and I was looking at how the home team did, and the home team won 9 out of 12 games, including 7 in a row at one point. But what I really noticed were the scores. There was like 13-7. Then there was 35-31. You know, then there's like, you know, 14-7, and all these really variable scores, which tell you exactly that neither of these teams are who they will be later in the year.
Yeah, and that's why I tend to, you know, if I'm going to lean away, I would lean with an offensive line that has played together, the quarterback and his top, you know, Jimmy Graham. I mean, Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison and Devontae Adams all know one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think Jimmy Graham is just a good enough player.
Yeah.
You know, and coming from the quarterbacks he's come from, you're right. It could maybe bet the under.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could just look, you know, the Bears defense being, wow, that looks so great. And then, you know, the Packers, they've all looked so great, but really it's just maybe two offenses that can't figure it out just yet.
Well, yeah, either that or two defenses that are just not quite ready.
Right. Yeah.
And there's tons of scores. Who knows?
I can't get myself to go with Mitchell Trubisky doing tons of scoring unless there's, again, some goofiness on special teams.
Yeah.
You know, with these new coverage rules and setups and, you know, guys trying to figure that stuff out. I mean, we mentioned the linebackers this week in the podcast, Tom. I mean, you're asking Corey Toomer, I'm guessing these guys will be up. Corey Toomer, James Crawford, mm-hmm. Antonio Morrison, and some maybe some rookie receivers, maybe a Robert Tonyan if he's up having to participate. You know, this is all new. Those guys have only been here, two of those four have only been here 10 days,
yeah,
2 weeks.
Exactly. Okay. Well, it's about that time when we have to make our predictions.
Oh, I haven't teased mine at all.
You haven't?
We'll find out if people
are
listening, right?
But at least pick a score. Now you got to pick a score.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, 6-3?
No, I'm going to go, so boring. I'm going to go 24-13. And I think it's closer than a two-score game, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a couple Mason Crosby field goals. I think that's what it is. I think the Packers are going to score points because of shorter fields, mm-hmm. Whether that be via turnover or some flip and field positions. I think the Bears will get on the board and make it interesting, have people kind of nervous.
Yeah. I'm going to go Packers 30, Bears 20.
And you're going higher.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going a little bit higher. I just think there will be some scoring. I think the Bears could score on defense or special teams. Yeah. I really do think that's possible. And I think Rodgers will find a way to get the ball in the end zone. But this is week one,
yeah.
And it's so lousy to have two teams whose starters haven't played.
Right.
Played a down, and so they're not going to be the teams they are later. You know, the game that'll count is the one at Soldier Field,
right.
And that'll be a really good game, assuming both teams stay healthy. And all
so,
that.
Yeah, both teams stay healthy, and I'm sure Packers fans listening to this will be like, well, what do you mean? All the starters are going to be resting at that.
Shoot. We'll see about that. All right, so I think we covered everything. Anything interesting happened to you on the beat this week?
Yeah, so I'm going around meeting guys. That's the hard part about this is you're trying to meet new people. I mean, quite literally, and who are you? I mean, they see your face, mm-hmm. and you're going to start asking them questions about why they were terrible. You know, it's like, who are you?
Yeah.
My favorite question was from Kevin King. We were talking, and he, nice to meet you, all this stuff, and he says, hey, I got a question for you. How do you guys get traded? I looked at him. He's like, "How do you guys get traded? Like from one paper to another?" And it was a great. And I tried to explain to him, and he definitely lost interest after 20 seconds,
yeah,
of trying to,
yeah,
explain what the Athletic is and you know, and job, right, opening. But it was just funny, Tom, to think like in his terms,
because mm-hmm.
that's what that is. When players move, they're signed or traded. I thought that was kind of fun. I had a couple players, Mike Daniels and Antonio Morrison. The way this works for people is, you know, we're kind of hanging out by a locker, and you're trying not to eavesdrop or listen. You know, you want to respect some privacy. Tom, I personally have a rule. I think a man should have pants on before I go talk to him. So
you're so new school.
Yeah, you know what I mean. And both of those guys, Mike Daniels and Antonio, are you listening to me? Don't listen to me. Don't write that down. You know what I mean? And all in good fun, which is good. I mean, honestly, for a guy like me, you want guys to kind of pay attention and know who you are and give you a little hard time.
Yeah. I'm from the days when guys were naked all the time in the locker room. So I'm not saying I enjoyed it in any way, shape, or form, but it was before the robes and the, you know, really big towels,
yeah,
and stuff. And I think it was a way. There was a backup quarterback named Blair Keel who always was naked. I think he was really proud of his body.
Yeah.
And it was always really suntan.
There are always, well, you know.
Yeah. But my funny or interesting thing of the week was I was watching the quarterback to running back ball drill where the running backs run through that machine that has those spring weighted bars in it, and they have to run through it. The three quarterbacks stand there, and they one by one throw to a back who then runs into those things. Well, then they have to get the ball back, and one of the equipment guys threw the ball back to Tim Boyle and hit him right in the jewels. And he was down on his knees. I mean, he was like, I thought, oh my God, he's tore his ACL or something. Yeah. He's down on his knees. So after the came back into the locker room, I kind of went up to him and asked him if he's going to be on the injury report and what should it be listed as. He just kind of looked at me like, get out of my face, you idiot. Not really. He was nice about it. But
my favorite one of that is, it depends, and to me this speaks to more of the player than maybe not, but Andre Smith once in Cincinnati ended up on the injury report, parentheses, butt. And he came up to me after the game. So this is, you know, 2 days later. And Andre's like, they couldn't put glute. And then after, and he must have complained because the next week he was on the injury report with parentheses glute. But that first one was butt. So I think someone wanted to send a message.
All right. Okay, well, thanks for joining us. I think I will cue the music and say we will talk to you after the game.
Yeah.
Late Sunday.
Yeah, late. Monday morning, Sunday morning?
Something
like that.
All right, everyone, have a nice weekend. And don't forget to check our online for JS Online and PackersNews.com for all our coverage. See you Sunday.
See you then.